Welcome to Future of Journalism, a podcast from the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism at the University of Oxford. I'm Mitali Mukherjee, Director of the Institute. This one is a special series of our podcast, and it is dedicated to the Digital News Report 2026. Over the course of 7 episodes, we're diving into the most comprehensive piece of research on news consumption worldwide. It's our 15th edition, and it's based on almost 100,000 interviews with news consumers from 6 continents and close to 50 markets. In this episode of the series, we're joined by co-author of the report, Amy Ross Arguedas, to unpack how people use AI chatbots for news. Who's using them and why? Do they trust them? How could it affect the use of news media websites themselves or other tools? We'll discuss all of that and more. Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Mitali. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. And this is a big one in terms of a topic that's sort of quite front and center of mind for the industry. But we're exploring here what we heard back from audiences. So let's do some sort of scenario mapping first. Can you do a little bit of scene setting, Amy, in terms of who's using AI chatbots for news and what the underlying trend is, if there is a clear trend visible?
Yeah, sure. So I think the main big story that we see in this year's data is clear growth in the use of AI chatbots for news. So we see 10% of our respondents globally are saying that they've used an AI chatbot for news in the past week. And that's up 3 percentage points from last year. So while it's still a pretty small minority of the population, it is a substantial relative increase compared to what we saw last year. In terms of who's using it, there's also some interesting details there. So we see the highest usage among the youngest age group. Perhaps unsurprisingly, we know that young people tend to be on the forefront of kind of new technology. At the same time, we've seen some growth among some of the older demographics. So we actually saw more growth among those who are 25 to 44 years of age. And then the other interesting point, aside from the age difference, is that we're seeing different patterns in different parts of the world. So essentially, growth seems to be strongest in certain parts of Asia. So places like South Korea, where 14% say that they're using chatbots for news. It also tends to be higher in parts of Latin America, parts of Africa, and also in some of the Southern and Eastern European markets. We tend to see less growth in Northern and Western Europe, as well as the U.S., where things have been much more stagnant this year. And in the case of the U.K., for example, we have the lowest figure globally. Only 4% say that they've used an AI chatbot for news. So essentially, we see growth happening mostly in places where the use of social and video networks is higher for news. And this suggests that, you know, people are kind of building potentially on pre-existing platform habits and kind of integrating chatbots into that. And then the last point I would make is just that what we see is essentially at this stage still very much the use of AI in kind of a complementary function. So only 1% say that AI is their main source of news. And so this is still very much tying into pre-existing habits that people are also using alongside AI chatbots.
That's really interesting, Amy. And it is sort of doubly so when you look at a market like the US, where all this AI innovation is being rolled out, but you also have quite a high degree of kind of, I suppose, caution in terms of the use of AI chatbots for news. And the other one to take on board is the point that you made quite a few times in your answer, which is growth. So kind of not an explosion, but some growth year over year. Do we know a bit more about what role interest in news itself plays in the use of AI for news? Just picking up on the last point you made about kind of complementary, not sort of swapping one out for the other.
Sure. Yes, it's quite clear that news interest is a very strong predictor of using AI chatbots for news. So we see that it's much more concentrated among the demographics that are really strong news lovers. And it really makes sense, right? Because, using a chatbot for news, it requires proactive steps. You have to go into the chatbot. You have to type something in. So it's quite intentional. And this larger proportion of people who are interested in news also kind of helps explain why we see higher use among people on the political extremes, which is another interesting data point. But this is because they also tend to skew more interested in news. So those who are very left-wing and very right-wing, respectively, tend to use chatbots more than people in the center.
The other one we've been focusing on for some of these alternatives, Amy, whether it's news creators or social media platforms, is the role of trust while navigating the news in these spaces. How does trust in news correlate with the use of AI for news?
Yes, there is a clear correlation. And actually, just taking a step back, it's pretty interesting to look at the trust data, because generally speaking, if we ask everybody, trust in news from AI chatbots tends to be pretty low. But when we zoom in and look specifically at people who are using chatbots for news, then it looks really different. Then trust is actually quite high there. So this is telling us that, you know, users seem to think that AI is performing reasonably well at these news-related tasks. We also see a strong relationship or correlation between chatbot use and trust at the market level. So essentially, countries that tend to have higher levels of trust also tend to have higher levels of adoption. And this correlation is much stronger between use and trust when it comes to AI chatbots than it is in the case of social media, for example, or even search.
I'm going to move to kind of uses for AI for news. And to be clear, when we're talking about use of AI for news, we know that sort of breaking news, for instance, is not surfaced in AI chatbots at this point. Was it clear what it is that people want out of this process, or what the different ways are that they use AI for news?
Yeah, we see kind of a broad range of uses, really. I mean, there is a clear front runner in terms of the most commonly mentioned use. So we see that around 4 in 10 say that they're asking chatbots follow-up questions about news. At the same time, we see a variety of other uses that were mentioned by around a third of respondents. So there's a portion of people who are simply asking chatbots for the latest news. There are similar proportions that are using it to simplify the news, so kind of helping make it easier to understand, also summarizing the news. And then we also see around a third who report using it to help them evaluate news sources. So, for example, asking a chatbot to, you know, assess the reliability of a news source, this type of application. So, you know, this highlights, you know, quite a broad range of uses that go far beyond what's possible on some of the other platforms that we've been talking about for some time.
And it kind of reflects the point you were making about new super users turning to these AI chatbots and taking sort of a far more deep approaching to news, evaluating news sources and things like that. You were speaking earlier, Amy, about how this was quite different in terms of different parts of the world. So Asia, probably a bit more culturally experimental with technology. Are the use trends as well, ranging quite differently across the world?
Yeah, I mean, we see some similarities and some differences. I think one of the similarities is about this kind of front runner use, which is the follow up questions. And we see this kind of ranking first in 33 of the 45 markets where we ask the question. So there's kind of broad consensus that that's kind of in first place. But again, then we do see some differences. And as you were mentioning, in some of the Asian markets, so for example, in Taiwan and South Korea, where people are a lot more used to getting news from aggregators, simply asking chatbots for the latest news is the most commonly mentioned use. Then we see in other places like Canada, like the UK, for example, where summarization comes at the top. In other places like Austria, we see that making the news easier to understand ranks in first place. And then the other interesting thing has to do with this evaluative use that I mentioned before. So using AI to evaluate news sources tends to rank much more highly in markets like Hong Kong and Turkey. So places that tend to have lower, you know, press freedom scores or tend to have lower levels of trusted news. And then the other similarity that we see across markets is that there's some of these other uses, just like asking chatbots to change the format, for example, from text into video. Those didn't rank highly in any of the markets. So there's also kind of consensus about those not being as popular.
One of the things I should have clarified at the start was that when we're talking about using AI to access the news, we are talking specifically about chatbots. So this is not about the AI search mode that you may see on some of your browsers. When you open it on Google, for instance, this is specifically the ChatGPT chatbot or Gemini from Google. And keeping that in mind, Amy, there have been quite a few conversations and discussions within the news industry about this zero click through concern mm-hmm. and how AI is going to sort of change this path of discovery and actually link back to the news websites. It's really hard because we're sort of looking at it from the other end of the telescope, which is what audiences think. We don't have access to publisher data. But what do we know about that, the AI overview space, the click-through question?
Yes, that's a great point, Mitali. And yes, of course, it's causing a lot of anxieties about, you know, just another platform eating into referral traffic, especially as people are using chatbots to get more detailed, more personalized answers. So in this year's survey, we were trying to kind of get at this question within the limitations. And again, this is a survey, so it's very much self-reported behavior. People might not even remember very well what they're doing. Sometimes they might, you know, report things differently from what they're doing in practice because they, you know, they think it's socially desirable. So there are limitations to asking people about what they do, but it does give us a starting point. And so what we did was we asked people how often they clicked through from AI chatbots. And then we also asked this in terms of clicking through from search engines and from social media, because that would give us a kind of a point of comparison between different platforms. So we asked this across 27 different markets, and what we see is that just around 4% of respondents overall say that they always or often click through to underlying news sources from AI chatbots. So this 4% is quite a bit lower than the 19% we see from search, the 17% we see from social media. But again, this is largely being driven just by lower use of AI more generally, because search and social media are used much more generally in the population. So again, this lower percentage is driven in large part by the fact that chatbot use is still, you know, largely a kind of a niche behavior among this very engaged group of users.
Along with the question for the news industry, Amy, on kind of, you know, how this impacts the work that they do, it's sort of what can we bring to the audience that is value additive by the use of AI? What can publishers take away from this in terms of audiences and their relationship with AI for news specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's several lessons here, some about the big picture, which is about this very uneven uptake of AI that we see at the moment. So it's uneven in terms of geographies, but it's also uneven in terms of the kinds of people that are using chatbots. And I think that the fact that early adoption is concentrated among kind of more engaged audiences tells us that some of these early effects are going to be felt potentially stronger among some of the people that are more closely connected to news. It also might, you know, add to the challenges around reaching young people, which we know have been somewhat elusive for traditional publishers. Now, in terms of the actual uses that people are giving chatbots, it's clear that AI is not just another route to headlines, even though that is how some people are using it. But in practice, people are using it for a large variety of things, as I mentioned, you know, to ask questions, to summarize, to evaluate information. And this is pointing to a much more expansive role that combines access, but also interpretation. And I think, you know, for publishers, it's clear that some of these uses align quite well with areas where they can respond directly. And there are some potential lessons here. So we see an appetite for kind of simpler, more easily digestible news. We also see, you know, people wanting summarizing, you know, wanting to news consumption to be more efficient. And there's also even some lessons here in terms of the follow-up questions. You know, there could be opportunities here for publishers trying to better anticipate audience needs through explainers, or, you know, you see some publishers experimenting with opening up questions and then trying to answer them. So I think that there's certainly some lessons here. At the same time, there's some of these uses that are not as easily addressed. And I think part of the appeal of chatbots really does have to do with their ability to provide these really personalized responses, very low effort responses at scale. And this is something that's going to be a lot harder for publishers to match. And I think that There's clearly some important strategic questions here about where publishers should invest their time and their effort. And it's likely that these efforts to replicate more generic AI functionalities might be outpaced by some of the larger platform companies. So I think here, you know, publishers may be better served by focusing on ways that they can enhance their specific journalism in a way that's distinctive and genuinely valuable for audiences.
Amy, thank you very much for joining our podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our guest today, Amy Ross Arqueras, Senior Research Fellow here at the Reuters Institute. Thank you, as always, for listening to this episode of the Digital News Report 26 podcast series. There will be more episodes from the report where we dive into findings around creators, impartiality, the role of public service broadcasters, and lots more. And of course, if you want to stay across the news about the Institute and from the Institute, subscribe to our weekly newsletter. There's a link on our homepage, or follow us on Blue Sky or on LinkedIn. From the team here, goodbye, and we will be back with another conversation soon.